B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And one of the things that we love this show, we always have special guests and people, you know, chime in and the whole thing. And we're lucky to have a couple of the greats. Like, we talk about being thankful. Well, I'm thankful for the two great Phillies icons who are a part of this town. They are just the greatest. I seriously just love them. Larry Boa and Charlie Manuel. Waiting on Charlie, but I think we got Bo. So let's get Bo up here. Happy Thanksgiving, Bo. What do you say, Bear?
How's it going?
What's going on, man?
Just chilling right now, getting ready for Thanksgiving, and you know, before you know it, be spring training again. But I'm excited about the Eagles right now, and the way they're playing, and they've obviously, a lot of people didn't think they'd do what they're doing, but they're doing very well right now.
Yeah, they are. And people don't know that you are a big time 4-for-4 guy, big time sportsman. You love all sports. You've always loved. You were always a big Eagle guy. You're a sports guy.
You know what, Ant? I remember back in the day when we were at the vet and we shared it with the Eagles and Jaworski and Vince Papale and all those guys. We would literally share the same shower and everything. And towards the end of September, when our season was wrapping up, they were just coming in there, and we'd be always talking, and guys would go out and have a few beers together. It was a lot different back then, but there was a closeness between the groups, even the Flyers, you know, Bernie and Schultze and that. Those guys all wanted to be together, and they'd come out and watch us. We go watch them, but it was fun just being around all those guys.
Doc, you're like, oh, like, hey, that was like the heyday, right? The glory days on this town, man. I want to smile on my face. I think back to those days with you guys.
You know what, Ant? The biggest thing through all that and everything was in 80 when every single team was in the finals there. And that's really hard to do, to have every team in there. We were the one that won everything. But, you know, to have the Sixers, the Flyers, and the hockey team, to me, I don't know. I just thought that was special.
Oh, my God. It was the greatest. You know, I remember Sports Illustrated, City of Champions. We were on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know if that's ever going to happen again, to have four teams go all the way to the finals. And no matter what, who won and who lost, that's something special.
Oh, my God. It was incredible. Are you kidding me? It was the greatest. It really was. I there's so much to tackle with you. I want to start with Bryce. And we talk about being thankful for athletes, and I love that dude. That his attitude, and he loves Philadelphia. And what a ball player, like Bo. He's just such a great ball player.
Yeah, he had a tremendous year, and you know, people don't realize when you get hit in the face with a fastball over 95 miles an hour, the ramifications that come after that are something people don't really understand. I mean, it's like getting hit with a car, really. And the fact he got hit in the face and in the wrist. And to overcome all that, and basically, I mean, he put us on his back the second half of the season. And he did everything in his power to get us there, and we came up short. But the fact what he did and how he did it and what he had to overcome is something very special.
It really was. And during his MVP speech, when he breaks down, it was so cool. Because you know why? It was so from the heart. And, you could tell the kind of journey, and you could tell what's in the kid's a winner, man. Like, that kid's a competitor.
Yeah, he loves the city, too. You know, I've known him for a while, and we talk in spring training and everything. But, you know, when he first came over here, Charlie and I both had him and talked to him about what the city's like and what they expect. And, you know, he was all in from the start. And, you know, hopefully we can we don't waste these years because, you know, he's right in the prime of his career. And we need to get moving here and get in the playoffs. And, you know, I really like our starting rotation. So if we can get into the playoffs, and I think anything can happen. As you saw Atlanta scuffling all year, really right around under 500, and all of a sudden they caught lightning in a bottle and took off and end up being the world champions.
Yeah, it does. It gives you hope, because that's the one thing about baseball. When the Dodgers made that trade, I was like, oh, my God, you got Trey Turner, right, and Scherzer? And you're going, yep. Are you kidding me? Like, how's anybody going to beat that team? And baseball's a funny game that way.
It is. And most of the time, you know, I mean, it's great to have those superstars, and we're lucky to have some on our team. But it's those guys that contribute in other ways. Atlanta went out and got four outfielders that, if you look at their numbers, they weren't really doing that good. Duvall was, but the rest of them were so-so, and then they caught lightning in a bottle, and that's what happens in baseball. You know, you got your stars who you know are going to perform. It's the guys around him that need to step it up, and those guys they got in Atlanta did a tremendous job in doing that.
Nah, it was nuts, because think about it, like a guy like Eddie Rosario, who you get in the waiver period, right? Like, and right. He winds up leading off for you and getting big hits.
Yeah, and Solar, who was struggling in Kansas City, and he comes in, and he's a monster. I mean, he had some big-time home runs for him, drove in a lot of runs. And their pitching, their bullpen really stepped up. I thought that was going to be their Achilles heel during the first half, because they weren't doing anything. And all of a sudden, you know, you get that momentum and you start feeling it. It's unbelievable. You look back, you know, I look back at 80, and there's always a game or something. And I'm sure Atlanta's looking back and saying there's a game where you say, hey, you know what, it's meant to be. And Atlanta proved to everybody that you don't need all superstars. They did have their share of superstars, but they had a good cast around them, and you saw what happened.
Did you, you know, it's interesting, because when you look at, you know, like what happened, you look at where the Phillies are, you know, it feels like if you just get, and bullpens, you know, you obviously need another arm, but I do think bullpens year to year can suddenly, you know, guys get kind of rescued. But if you get a couple of boppers, like an outfield, I mean, you need this leadoff guy, you need a bopper, right? Is Jalen Ortiz, is he close? Is he getting there? I mean, I was kind of excited about him.
Yeah, he's not. I can honestly tell you, this is my opinion. I don't think he's ready yet. But this kid really has improved a lot. I watched him 2 years ago, and he's swinging at pitches out of the zone, sliders just bouncing in the dirt. And I watched him last year, man. His strike zone has shrunk a lot. He's not chasing as much as he did. He's very strong. He hit the ball out of anywhere, right, center, or left. He's a good athlete, but he still needs to play. You know, we everyone talks about our farm system being the worst in baseball. You know, I was down there with Charlie at Instructional League, and we have some players down there. Do we have Sotos or no? But we have some players that are going to play in the big leagues. We got some arms in Abel and Painter and a kid named Schultz. Those are power arms, and you know they're just waiting down there and getting the experience they need to do pitching in Double A and Triple A. I don't think this farm system is as bad as people think it is, but do we have superstars down there? Not yet, but we have some guys that are going to play in the big leagues.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Bo, I want to turn our attention to another great Philly shortstop, Jimmy Rollins, on the Hall of Fame ballot. And when you go over his numbers and you look at when you watched him play, you think about his career. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm even going out on the limb. I know it probably won't happen. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You go check his numbers out. They're unbelievable. Yeah. And I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, he's a tremendous player. I was very fortunate to be able to manage him. And he brought a lot of energy to the park. I love watching him play. And he brought a lot to the city, brought a lot to the Phillies. And I would be totally disappointed if he didn't get in the Hall of Fame. I don't see any way how you can keep a kid like that out of the Hall of Fame.
I'm with you. I you know, and you know what's amazing about him too, because he was the beginning of that power hitting short. Well, you know, run producers at shortstop, right?
Yep.
And he was a guy who had some pop. He obviously speed, top of the order. He had a great glove.
Defense. Yep.
You know, arm.
There's no reason that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. And again, I'm probably dreaming a little bit, but if I'm on the committee and I'm voting, I'm putting him on my first ballot. There's no question about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's a shame, too, because Ryan Howard, had he played a little bit longer, would have another shot at it.
Yeah, I believe that. And I think this is – he's going to be one of those that is – I mean, let's face it, he's a great player.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that these writers are going to look into his – you know, he missed some time. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But all three of those guys were very instrumental in their successes, you know, winning the World Series and then going back the next year and losing to the Yankees. But that was a great team. And, you know, hopefully those guys get honored the way they should be honored.
I know. I got to tell you, like, just from a pride standpoint, you really are hoping. It's the same way when Harper wins MVP and we were hoping that Wheeler would have won the Cy Young. There's something special that, you know, when it's your guy, still remembering Schmitty and Carlton did it, right?
Yep.
And that sort of thing. There's that pride that goes into your ball club as a fan that you want those individual accomplishments.
No question. And you know, you look at our team right now, and you look at a guy like Ranger Suarez who came out of nowhere and really dominated. I mean, and then you look at three guys that we have, to me, that are, you know, they're guys that you build around. You know, JT, who was banged up last year but still did a good job, and Wheeler and Harper. And you know, you look at this team and you're going, wait a minute. Those are three outstanding players in the big leagues, and you put our rotation together with Wheeler at the top of it, and then Nola's going to bounce back, and Ranger, you know, and Eflin, we need him to be healthy. I think there's a lot of optimism here, and I don't see teams. I know the Atlanta Braves are going to be a team that they're very young and they're very good, but the National League East is going to be a tough division.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. I really am. Hey, I don't know what something must have kept Charlie, but one of the things I love is how close you guys are. The show was the best, man. I love that show. You two, I mean, we're talking about being thankful for Philadelphia icons. The two of you together, it's a blast. It's great baseball, but it's great fun.
You know, we had a great time doing that. You know, you're talking about two guys that really love the city of Philadelphia, love what comes with it, the ups and downs, the people that get frustrated, but when you do good here, it's the greatest feeling in the world. And if you're a player and you don't want to come to Philly, there's something wrong with you because it's a great baseball city. Are they tough on you sometimes? Yeah, but you know what? You expect that. It's a blue-collar city, and they want you to perform. They want you to go out there and give everything you have. And if you do that, there's regardless of your ups and downs, if you give them everything you have every time you take the field, they're going to warm up to you, and you're going to have a great career here. But this is a tremendous place to play, and you've seen that place. I mean, even at the Vet when we were winning in the late 70s and 80s, that place rocked. And Citizens Bank Park, when you put together a good product, they come out every single night. And I'm watching the Eagles, and they're getting on that right now. And, you know, the Sixers are going through some tough times because of the COVID and some injuries, but you know, it's just a great sports town. And like I said, it takes special people to play here, Amp. As you well know, you've been here a long time. And if you're not mentally tough to play here, this is the wrong place to play. I'll be honest with you. It's the wrong place to play. But if you have any kind of mental toughness, it's the greatest place in the world to play.
Yeah, they love you. They appreciate you. It matters here. And you're a big deal, right? Like, that's the thing. Yeah. That I always try to tell people, like, if you play here and you embrace it, you'll be king here. Because what we do is we do sports.
Yep. And you know what? You put that ring on your finger, and that even solidifies everything. And people don't forget here.
Yep.
They just, it's something that, it's hard to explain. You know, people say, you know, I'm from California, but I've been here since 1970. People say, God, you lived in Philly and you don't go back to California. Well, I go back and visit my family, but this is home for me. And I've stayed here. I love the change of seasons. I love watching all four sports teams. You know, it's just part of my life now. And it'll be like that till the day that I am no longer here. It's something that, I don't know, it just sort of, me and the city of Philadelphia just go hand in hand. And I think it has a lot to do with the blue collar attitude that these people have here. They get up early in the morning, they work late at night, and they love their sports. And I love this city.
Listen, they love you. They've always loved you. And you know that. But, Bo, you're the greatest, man. I love you, man. Have a great, happy Thanksgiving, all right, with your mom, your wife, your mother-in-law, and everybody. So God bless everybody up there.
All right, Ant, you guys have a great Thanksgiving and a great Christmas and everything. And before you know it, we'll be throwing the baseball around again.
I can't wait, buddy. Thanks, okay, brother. The great Larry Boa on the Comcast Business Hotline. That's it, man. He is. See, I love the fact that he loves all the sports, right?
So about the he gets it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.